Monster Man, episode 283, Creature Catalog Introduction. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are beginning the fourth season of Monster Man, and we're moving away from monster books written for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Instead, we're going to take a lateral move and go take a look at the other strand of the game's evolution, and that was basic Dungeons & Dragons. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new sponsor. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other show, Patron Deities, in which I take an in-depth look at the Deities and Demigods book for AD&D, and how to use religion and mythology in your games. So thank you very much, Guillaume N. Your support is greatly appreciated. If you talk to gamers of a certain age, they will often tell you that they started playing with original Dungeons & Dragons. And what they mean by that is actually not really the game's first edition, but one of its most widespread, which was the 1983 Red Box. When Advanced Dungeons & Dragons came out, there was a demand for a simpler version of the game, which would serve as an introduction to AD&D, and that was released as Basic Dungeons & Dragons, right? So the idea was you got your Basic Dungeons & Dragons, and then you got your Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. But Basic Dungeons & Dragons turned out to have a fan base of its own, and it went through a number of revisions. The famous Redbox one came out in 1983, and that was done by Frank Mentzer. This was divided into a series of box sets. The Red Box was just the first one. That was the basic set. And then that was followed by the expert set, the companion set, the master set, and finally the immortal set. And from the initials of these sets, that edition is often known as Beckme. And it's that edition that we are talking about today. Because this edition of Basic D&D was divided into a number of different box sets, monster stats that were sort of appropriate for the different levels of character that each box set contained were split across the sets. So if you wanted all of the monsters that were in the game's official rules, you would need 7 different books split across 4 box sets. That's quite a lot. And that's not even counting the numerous monsters that were published in scenarios put out for Basic D&D, and the various monsters that were released in the monster books for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, but were never statted up for Basic. So by 1986, I guess it became clear to TSR that there was some desire for a centralized repository of monster lore for the basic game, to give Basic Dungeons & Dragons a monster manual of its own, if you will, even if all that meant was a single place to look up all the monsters that were in the other books. That task fell to TSR UK. Now, we've discussed TSR UK in the past. We talked a little bit about the process that sort of brought it into being in the creation of the Fiend Folio. In the late 1970s and very early 1980s, there was some talk of a merger between TSR and the UK's foremost RPG company, Games Workshop, which would be surprising to you if all you know Games Workshop as is a maker of miniatures and miniature games, but that was not always the case. It has its own long and complicated history. But the merger didn't happen, and instead TSR wound up setting up its own UK branch of the company, based, in fact, right here in Cambridge, in Cherry Hinton. That was headed up by Don Turnbull, who had done so much in the pages of White Dwarf to promote D&D in the UK. TSR UK produced a series of critically acclaimed modules, probably most famously The Sinister Secret of Saltmarsh, but there are lots of other ones, and they had their own magazine as well. So if we look through the UK side credits, we'll find a number of designers whose names we recognize. But the three kind of most prominent ones are Graham Morris, Phil Gallagher, and Jim Bambra. They're responsible for most of the UK series adventures, and in particular, in this year, they come out with B10 Night's Dark Terror. But this year, what I mean is 1986. So 1986, TSR UK releases releases Night's Dark Terror. A couple other things, too. I think they're coming out with scenarios at a pretty good rate, or modules, I should say, this being D&D. But this is the last hurrah for TSR UK. By the end of 1986, their designers are all going to be over at Games Workshop, And if you're British and you're familiar with the names of those designers, it's probably because you're familiar with them from Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, which they're going to put out at the very end of this year from Games Workshop. So Creature Catalog is a number of things. First, it's an index to monsters published in other TSR products. Second, it's a compilation of monsters from other sources, so monsters that were published in Scenarios, for instance. And then thirdly, it has a group of new monsters as well. What we're going to do this season is that we're going to largely skip over monsters that are already in the AD&D monster books, right? We don't have to worry about orcs or dwarfs or whatever. There are going to be some cases, indeed there's some cases next episode, where it's borderline. So for example, there's an entry for big cats. Well, okay, some of them may not be in the main book, but you get the idea. You know what big cats are. So some will give a cursory reading, but maybe not go into a tremendous amount of detail. But then some are all new, and we'll give them the proper Monster Man treatment. Looking at this book, it's a 96-page, I believe it was a softback. I actually have the PDF, which you can buy right now. It's available, you know, from Wizards of the Coast. I think it's about 10 bucks. I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can go and get your own copy and follow along if you like. And it's got a humorous cover by Keith Parkinson that shows some adventurers about to enter a dungeon, some more enthusiastically than others. And unlike previous monster books, it is not organized alphabetically. Instead, it's divided into six categories. So the monsters are broken up by type. Those are animals, conjurations, which refers to things like elementals or extraplanar creatures, humanoids, your orcs and goblins and bugbears and so forth, low life, which are like vermin, you know, carrion crawlers, violet fungi, and so forth, monsters, which is kind of your catch-all other weird creature category, and then finally, undead. This is kind of an interesting reorganization, and I think it fits the needs of DMs probably a little better than the previous system. You know, in the previous system, you either had to have a thorough familiarity with the book, or just to know what you were looking for was already called. Here, you're going to start kind of by thinking about what you want to put in your dungeon, and then looking for a thing that corresponds to it. I think there are interesting sort of ease of use points to be made in favor of either way of doing it. But I do think it's interesting that this kind of changed. And then this didn't stick around like that, right? In second edition, which is going to come out a few years after this, second edition comes out in 89, I think, of AD&D, we then get this completely new system where it's all done with detachable binder pages where you can organize them however you like, right? So the debates about how to best organize seem to be going on, you know, continually. When we look at the beginning of the book, we see that there are, you know, some kind of guidelines on how to use the book, and then standardized rules for special attacks. So this is what happens if a creature has acid. This is what happens if it does persistent damage. So we're moving away a little bit, or perhaps we were never near the detailed spot rule type situations of AD&D first. Now, I've said before that I like the spot rules, but I do think that maybe in an attempt to make, you know, basic D&D simpler and more accessible, the standardized rules make a bit more sense. So in the entry, I can say acid, and then I know that the acid rules are right at the beginning of this book. We then get some advice on how to modify creatures and on how to balance an encounter for a particular party. Again, almost immediately, one of the things that we constantly see turning up in the literature of D&D is, how do I make sure that this encounter is appropriate to the party that are facing it? So the assertion in the OSR that early D&D was a wonderful naturalistic playground where if there was a dragon there, there was a dragon there, and if the party was incapable of facing the dragon, then they had best just avoid it, and DMs never attempted to create level-appropriate encounters, is very hard to reconcile with the amount of ink spilled on how to balance games. It's all over Early White Dwarf. It's in here. I feel like this might be nostalgic memory rather than objective memory. So that's what we're going to see as we go into Season 4, an attempt to consolidate the basic game's monster lore in one place, but with enough new monsters, enough raisins in the oatmeal, to make it interesting even to people who already had all the other books. And those monsters are going to come from a team of very talented designers. I'm assuming that most of the new content comes from the UK team, who of course have a good reputation, but since there are so many monsters from different scenarios, there's a wide range of different designers credited. So, we're told, that this is compiled by Graham Morris, Phil Gallagher, and Jim Bambra, but the monsters are created by Dave Alexander, Jim Bambra, Mike Brunton, William Carlson, Zeb Cook, Michael Gray, Phil Gallagher, Jeff Grubb, Gary Gygax, Bruce Hurd, Tom Kirby, and Gray McCready, Michael Malone, Frank Mancer, Tom Moldvay, Graham Morris, Bruce Nesmith, Doug Niles, Merle Rasmussen, Gary Spiegel, Gene Wells, and Skip Williams, with art by Jeff Anderson, Helen Bedford, Gary Harrod, Tim Sell, Brian Williams, Jeff Wingate, and Pete Young. So obviously there are a lot of very important people on the U.S. side, I mean, not least among them Gygax himself, but actually I think it's interesting that, you know, I think most people who are interested in the history of British gaming, when you think of Tom Kirby, you don't think of him as someone who's like a D&D designer, right? You know, again, you think of him as being someone who's mainly in the miniatures business, and that I think just says something about the transforming landscape of British gaming in the 80s, or early 90s. So I'm really looking forward to taking a look at this book, and we're going to begin next episode by starting off the animals section. Now, animals might not be the most thrilling, but actually I think there's some quite interesting stuff in it, and we're going to start off looking at big cats, and then moving on to a familiar category, dinosaurs, and then following that up with dogs. All of that right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.